Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the R Systems International Limited Q1 2014 earnings conference call hosted by Motilal Oswal Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Vora from Motilal Oswal Securities Limited. Thank you and over to you, Mr. Vora.
Thank you, Karuna. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Securities, I welcome all participants to our Systems 1Q 2014 earnings conference call. From the management, we have with us Mr. Reki Singh, Chairman and Managing Director, Lieutenant General Baldev Singh, President and Senior ED, Mr. Raj Swaminathan, CEO and Director, Mr. Nand Sardana, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Kumar Gaurav, GM Finance. Now I would like to invite Mr. Gaurav to announce the disclaimer statement and take the call forward. Over to you, Kumar.
Yeah. Thanks for attending Q1 investor call. I'm going to read out the customary disclaimer statement on behalf of this company. Investors are cautioned that this presentation contains forward-looking statements that involve risk and uncertainties. The company undertakes no obligation publicly to update or revise any forward-looking statement. This statement may undertake revision because of new information, future events, or otherwise. The actual result, performance, achievement could differ from those expressed or implied in such forward-looking statements. Now I am handing over to Mr. Reki for his opening comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Kumar. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for being a part of this investor call for our quarter one 2014. I will cover the key highlights and the key events. During quarter one, we have reported revenue of rupees 156 crores. That is an year-on-year increase of 25%. Our EBITDA is rupees 18.7 crores, which is year-on-year increase of over 200%. Our net profit after tax is over rupees 14 crores. During Q1, we served 140-plus customers, including $28 million-plus accounts. We added 8 key clients. Telecom and digital media continues to be our largest vertical, industry vertical, with approximately 31% share of revenues, followed by BFSI, which accounts for 15% of our revenues. The quarter one margins were impacted by salary changes and ramp-up costs for new projects. I'm pleased to inform that we have released a comprehensive solution for commercial vehicles and equipment leasing under our industry offerings. We have a strong balance sheet with shareholder funds of rupees 243 crores and cash and bank balances of rupees 123 crores. I will now hand over to Nand, our CFO, to provide detailed financial analysis.
Thank you, Mr. Reki. Good morning to all. Thank you, everybody, for attending the call. Hope everyone had the opportunity to review our performance of Q1. I'll first give my comments on the financial performance, which will be followed up by Raj's comment on the operation, and then final summing up by Mr. Reki, and then Q&A session. Let me go into detail of each line item of profitability statement. Revenue for the quarter was rupees 156.26 crore or $25.31 million. Year-end increase was 25.15% and quarter-on-quarter decrease was 5.61%. The factor that led to 25.15% year-on-year increase was volume increase 9.41%, rupee depreciation 15.48%, impact of rate hike 36 basis points. This was offset by a decrease in licensing revenue 10 basis points. Q1 gets impacted with client budget still in process of approval and is normally muted. The quarter-on-quarter decline of 5.61% mainly due to third-party hardware and software component delivered along with our services during Q4 for telecom operators through Computer Ace and lesser billing days in Q1 as compared to Q4 last year. Also, we had some ramp down in one of our BPO customers. Important to mention here, we added 8 key customers during the quarter. However, the full revenue impact will reflect from Q2 onwards. Getting down to gross margin, it was at 35.11% in Q1 compared to 39.21% last quarter, a decline of 4.1%. During Q1, most of the employees get their appraisals. Therefore, Q1 is impacted by 3.25% on account of these service changes and employee-related provisions. Q1 utilization is impacted due to ramp-up cost of new project. License revenue is slightly lower in Q1 as new customers started towards the end of Q1. As a policy, we account for license revenue conservatively over the period of its implementation and not upfront. Getting now to SG&A expense line, SG&A expenses increased quarter-on-quarter by Rs. 57 lakh. It was Rs. 36.19 crore in Q1 compared to 35.62 crore last quarter. As percentage of revenue, SG&A was 23.16% this quarter compared to 21.52% last quarter, which is an increase of 1.64%. Our SG&A has increased mainly due to H1 visa filing fees as offset by higher year-end audit and tax filing provision in last quarter. EBITDA in Q1 was Rs. 18.67 crore or $3.03 million compared to Rs. 29.28 crore or $4.8 million last quarter and Rs. 5 crore or $0.92 million in same quarter last year. As percentage of revenues, EBITDA was 11.95% in Q1 compared to 17.69% last quarter and 4% same quarter last year. During the year 2013, we reported EBITDA of 13% with the current exchange rate. We should be able to deliver improved EBITDA margin during the year 2014. Getting down to depreciation, the total expense was Rs. 2.70 crore compared to Rs. 2.82 crore last quarter and Rs. 2.13 crore in Q1 last year. Interest expense is Rs. 4 lakh in Q1 compared to Rs. 3.17 lakh last quarter. Other income in Q1 was positive Rs. 4.08 crore compared to Rs. 3.17 crore in Q4. Other income in Q1 comprised of exchange gain of Rs. 1.25 crore compared to exchange gain of Rs. 2.1 crore last quarter. As at Q1, we have forward cover of $7.65 million with average rate of ₹64.70, plain vanilla option of $800,000 with average rate of ₹62.06, and euro forward cover of $600,000 with average rate of 85.92, which has already been marked to market at closing rate of 31st March. The other income was also augmented by steady interest income of Rs. 1.14 crore this quarter compared to Rs. 1.01 crore last quarter due to increased corpus. Further, during Q1, we have received an old tax refund in our UK subsidiary of Rs. 1.49 crore, which we have not earlier accounted for due to uncertainty of its realization. Our tax expense was Rs. 5.6 crore in this quarter compared to 7.82 crore last quarter. Effective tax percentage for this quarter is 28.2% as against 26.4% during last quarter. The reason for increase in effective tax rate is expiry of old tariff overlapses in our USA and Netherlands subsidiaries. Net profit after tax was Rs. 14.36 crore or $2.33 million compared to Rs. 21.77 crore or $3.61 million last quarter. EPS for this quarter was Rs. 1.13 per share compared to Rs. 1.72 per share on a face value of Rs. 1 per share. Getting on to the asset side in the balance sheet, total receivables at end of March 2014 were Rs. 108.9 crore compared to Rs. 104.1 crore at the end of last quarter. The receivable in terms of DSO were 52 days as at March 14 and almost same as at last quarter. Our DSO has improved over a period of time, as you will notice. Cash and bank balances were Rs. 123.90 crore compared to Rs. 111.52 crore at the end of December 2013. We have been able to increase our cash reserve despite the payment of taxes and capex to continuous cash generation from operations. Our system shareholder fund was Rs. 243.40 crore at the end of March 2014 compared to Rs. 231.76 crore as at the end of December 2013. The net book value per share was Rs. 19.22 per share and the cash and bank balance was Rs. 9.78 per share on face value of Rs. 1 per share. Now with that, let me hand over to Raj for review of operations.
Thank you, Nand, and thank you, Ricky. And thank you, everybody, for joining us on this call today. Let me give you a flavor of our operations. This quarter was another continuing quarter where we demonstrated the strength and diversity of our global businesses and our various center of excellences across the markets. In terms of our key wins, let me give you a flavor of some of our wins across the 8 new customers that we bagged this quarter. From a product lifecycle business, we won a key engagement on our healthcare sector. This was an opportunity that we bagged with a leading provider of interactive patient care and patient engagement systems. This company engaged us to re-architect their core key product, which empowers patients to participate in their own care and leads to better healthcare outcomes. This is an exciting new solution and a new area for us in terms of the emerging healthcare opportunities. In the banking and financial services segment, once again from our product lifecycle group, for an exciting new self-service banking solutions product company who are engaged in web-enabled ATMs, deposit automation, and analytics through customer preferences and targeted marketing, we are helping them build a next-generation software product solution. These two are from our product lifecycle services business. From a core products company, from a core products offering, one of India's leading public sector banks has chosen to partner with our systems to implement probably one of the largest loan origination systems, which covers both retail and corporate loans, to automate their credit risk management. This would be a significant implementation from our Indus product suite. We are partnering in this endeavor with one of India's leading system integrators, as well as a global analytics solution offerer. I mentioned to you in the last quarter our deepening expertise and credibility that we are building with our captive auto finance businesses and in the whole sub-vertical of auto finance. We have won the mandate across global competition with one of the global captive auto finance players, and for them we have been selected to implement both our end-to-end retail auto finance as well as wholesale auto finance, covering the entire gamut from originations, loan servicing, through to collections, inventory and dealer funding, and the entire life cycle of captive auto finance solutions. This would be our fourth big win in the captive auto finance space and really is emerging as an interesting new sub-vertical for us. From our manufacturing and supply chain business, we have won the mandate for a leading electronics product manufacturer for an effective energy management solution from our ECNET business group. These would give you a flavor of some of our key wins across the centers of excellence that demonstrates the diversity of our products and solution offerings. From our geographic concentration, I think the percentages are broadly similar, with US contributing 56%, Europe 26%, Southeast Asia 9%, and India about 5%, along with the others of 4%. From a client concentration, once again, the percentages are largely similar, with the top 5 contributing 20% and the top 10 contributing 34%. We continue to manage our headcount very carefully. We are almost flat with a marginal reduction. And our utilization percentage is at a satisfactory level of about 72 to 73%. All in all, a satisfying quarter of execution, and we hope to continue this trend. With that, I'll pass you on to Reki for his closing comments. Hello? Hello?
Thank you, Raj. Let me sum up. The global economy is gathering momentum, and this will enhance the IT spending worldwide. We are experiencing this with our increased sales funnel and our recent new wins. Year 2014 does look encouraging for the company. We are continuing to invest in R&D and competencies across all key industry verticals. With that, we will be able to provide enhanced value proposition for our current as well as our prospective customers. The rupee depreciation at the current level is also helping our margins. We will, of course, continue to follow our hedge policy to mitigate currency risk. Our strategy for 2014 is to work as an extended arm for our customers to offer innovative and end-to-end services and solutions, maintain discipline and execution, and leverage global delivery. We are maintaining a strong balance sheet to invest for future growth. That brings us to the end of our presentation today, and I will hand you back to the organizers for the questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. We have first question from the line of Siddharth Vora from Motilal Oswal. So please go ahead.
Yes. Sir, we concluded 2013 with $100 million USD revenues and 13% EBITDA margins. In this improving environment, how do we see or aspire ourselves to achieve in the next 3 to 5 years?
That's a good question, Siddharth. See, we have reported the EBITDA of close to 12% this quarter. So, you know, if you compare it with the same quarter last year, we were 4% and slowly improved in Q2, Q3, and Q4. Q1 normally is a challenging quarter for us. What happens is that, you know, the client budget are still kind of not getting into a final shape. So, that challenge is there. And secondly, you know, most importantly, in Q1, you know, salary increases mostly in offshore and a little bit in onsite also kicks in. We have a December year end. So, you know, Q1 is normally muted, but, you know, going forward kind of it improves. So, we have kind of this quarter 12%, last year 13%. I'm quite positive we'll be able to kind of improve upon this number. We don't give any specific guidance or any, you know, broad number from a quantity point of view, but there is a scope of improvement by the year end and going forward as well.
Okay, so any reason why our on-site utilization, sir, remains at around 75%, where compared to others have a utilization upwards of 85%?
You see, what happens is in on-site, like especially the on-site component is following. First is that U.S. IT business, where the utilization is close to 90-plus kind of a thing. Okay, the other component of on-site utilization is our Europe BPO business that is based out of Netherlands and France. Historically, we calculate utilization based on the actual calls, you know, entered your BPO business. So what happens is the rates are very high. Actually, rates are close to 1 euro per minute, approximately 60 euro per hour. But the way utilization is calculated, it is based on the actual time work. So, you know, with 150 euro per hour, we get close to 50% utilization. Historically, it has been like that. Secondly, for the computerized business also, you know, there are fixed price projects and the rates are quite good in this rate, ranging of around, you know, $70 to $80 per hour. So that's why, you know, it kind of, you know, utilization is a little muted. But on a T&M basis, where we work in the U.S., the utilization is close to between 90 to 95%.
Okay, sir. And in this environment, among our three businesses, if you say the products business, the services business, and the BPO portion, what will be the area where we will be concentrating for the next 1 or 2 years?
That again is a very good point. See, our core business is services business, services IT business, which is handled out of Noida offshore center as well as New York offshore center in the U.S. This is the core business, which is the most profitable and kind of, you know, growing business. And we have won 3 to 4 big customers in last quarter. And, you know, we've seen that a lot of growth will come during this, you know, from this kind of this business. So we are very positive about this business. Regarding BPO business also, you know, what is happening is that comparatively the margins are not high. our BPO business is done out of Noida and Netherlands, France and USA. You know, margins are a little lower, but I think this business is also, you know, having normal growth. Product business also, you see, from a product business point of view, we have one Indus banking and finance business and supply chain business out of Singapore office. The combined EBITDA of this business is close to 10%. You know, it has some challenges in the sense we need to make a little bit more investment. We are making investment, but what is happening is some, you know, very big investments are required to grow this business. We are, because of quarterly pressure and all that, not able to kind of, you know, do too much investment in that. As of now, we want to concentrate more and more on services business, and product business also will continue. But, you know, this is not that core business, you know, for us.
Okay. So, but in terms of investments, sir, we have 50% of our net worth is in cash and cash equivalents. We could have any plans for investments, or how are we planning to utilize this cash going forward?
See, Siddharth, we will continue to grow the business. You know, we have added 8 key customers during this quarter. And, you know, what happens is that, you know, we have to make investment to begin with, and then, you know, the kind of real food for investment comes in. So we are making a lot of investment R&D efforts also. So the plan to utilize cash is to kind of, you know, invest in the business. As I said, you know, product business doesn't need normal investment. It needs a little bit higher investment. So we are kind of making investment, but not in a big way. So we'll continue to make investment. There are some acquisition plans also. We are working towards that. And you know, that's how, you know, we will be utilizing our cash in a most efficient way.
In terms of acquisitions, anything in the near-term horizon?
Not anything in the right now in hand, but we keep our eyes and ear open, keep on looking at various things. We are more interested in kind of in our core business, like IT services business. We are looking for some acquisition in the USA in the services business. We are talking to somebody, but as of now, nothing concrete in hand.
Okay. So, sir, the acquisition will be in any services or vertical specific which you would like to add to our business?
See, our core verticals are, as you would have noticed, is telecom and digital media, banking and finance, government business, healthcare, and management services sector. So we will kind of try to make an acquisition in these specified areas only. But, you know, it depends. I mean, some very good offer comes, but, you know, we will prefer in our existing verticals.
Okay, sir. Okay, that's it from right now. I'll come back in the queue for more.
Thank you.
It's a reminder to all the participants, anyone who has a question may press star and one at this moment. We have first question from the line of Ashish Agarwal from Tata Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question has been answered. Just one clarification, sir. Sorry, I missed that. What is the reason for the decline in revenues Q on Q?
Ashish, if you notice that the decline in Q1 compared to Q4 is close to, you know, 5%. What has happened is in last quarter, we had some third-party hardware and software sales, which was done out of our European subsidiary computer is. You know, what happens is when you take a big project, you have to do some kind of, you know, hardware and software business as part of the deal. But from accounting point of view, that is also your revenue. So that revenue was there last quarter. We implemented a big telecom project. But that is not there this quarter. So to some extent, out of that 5%, around 3% decline is due to this reason. And secondly, Ashish, you will notice that Q1 is having comparatively lesser number of days compared to Q4. So our time and material business times have got impacted because of lesser number of days. And one of our BPO clients, there was some ramp down in that. And, you know, we had time to reduce that revenue as well. So these are broad three reasons because of that our volume is less, close to 1.4 million compared to last quarter.
Thank you. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. Next question is from the line of Dheeraj Sachdev from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks to everyone on the management side for taking my question. I just wanted to know, Nanda, you mentioned that going forward, margin should be better. There is a scope for improving margins. What would drive these margins? Is it the cost side or leveraging on the product side or improving mix in favor of product life cycle business. If you can just throw some light on the key drivers that will improve the margins.
Yes. Very good question. Actually, you see, there are 3-4 levers which we have, which kind of drives our margin. The biggest lever we have is the utilization. So more and more utilization, it improves our efficiency and kind of results straight away into, bottom line improvement. See, if you notice this quarter, we are at 73.20% utilization. We are comparatively 1.7% down compared to last quarter. So there is some room for improvement in that, which I'm sure will kind of help increase the margin. The second important, the lever we have, which is actually not in our control, is rupee dollar rate. See, right now, rupee is hovering around 60. So, if we continue to have that 60 kind of a dollar rupee rate or going towards 62 or 63 rupee weakness, then our margins will improve because most of our sales are export sales. So that will definitely help us improve our margin. Assuming the present rate also, we should be able to improve our EBITDA at least 1 to 2%, assuming the present 60 kind of a rate. Because what happens is that, in Q1 you have salary increases and, you have to make gratuity and leave encashment kind of provisions. And as I said just now that, Q1 is seasonally, there are lesser number of days. In Q2, the number of days are actually 2 more than compared to Q1. So volume growth will kind of also come in Q2. Q2 and Q3 are also almost having similar number of days. So volume growth should also come in a normal course of business. Secondly, one important point in Q1, we have done a lot of ramp-up costs for 2 of our customers who started. We had to do some pilot and all that. The real revenue will start kicking up from Q2 onwards. So this ramp-up cost, which we have incurred in Q1, is going to be fruit from Q2. Put together all these things, I'm quite positive we should be able to give kind of a better margin on an overall year basis. Just to tell you, last year, same quarter, we had 4% EBITDA margin, but we ended up with 13%. I mean, I'm not saying that because in Q1, the rate was around 53, and then finally, year closed at 58 rupees exchange rate. I'm not saying, we can improve that much, but, I'm quite positive that we should be able to improve upon 1-2% at least.
By the end of the year.
That is right.
Okay. The next question is on the digital media and telecom, which is the maximum of your revenue mix. If you can just throw light on digital media because it's an emerging area, and what kind of work that you do on the product life cycle or IT services business in digital media, and I believe that the growth rate should be faster in this vertical.
Yes, sir. I request my colleague Agarwal to answer the question.
Digital media, we are mainly into IPTV business, and we serve some of the key players in this who have their core IP into IPTV. We serve their global clients. We have close to 150 plus employees who work for them, and we have different customers who work for them, and we are in a prominent position on that.
So is this vertical the faster compared to other segments because this is an emerging area?
Yeah, this is growing better, and the new customer also we are able to attract more on that.
Okay. And finally, there's some...
So as competitors also operate in the same space, they are into telecom. Again, we share some customers with competitors. So I think with synergy, we will be able to attract more clients.
Okay. And just finally, some bookkeeping questions. There is another operating income of 3.3 crores this quarter. What's that? Because it's probably higher than the previous quarters that I've seen. And what will be the capex, X of any acquisition? Is there any ramp-up or facility that you're looking for? What will be the capex for the next 2 years?
See, the capex, as of now, our biggest development centers are in Noida as of now. We have, some spare capacity here. Actually, we have close to 100-150 kind of seats which can be kind of still can be occupied. So that is, in fact, one of the levers we have. If we had another 150 seats in Noida, our SG&A is now going to increase. Gross margin is going to flow. So, for this year, I think we should be able to kind of utilize that. Going forward, we will expand, and when we the more need for space is required, then we kind of will expand.
As of now, you know, we have not worked out how much will be required, but, you know, whenever there's an opportunity, we will do it accordingly.
Okay. And the other operating income, ma'am, is there anything specific there?
What is the question of operating income?
There is some 3.3 crores of other operating income. What's that? Is there anything abnormal there?
I explained in my presentation, actually. What has happened is that, you know, one of our subsidiary computers, there was some withholding tax which was deducted by Malaysian government while paying to them. So what happens is that, you know, they had to take credit in UK for that. Okay. We were trying for that credit for last 2-3 years, but we were not able to get that. You know, we kind of, you know, somehow talked to the UK authorities and, you know, there were some questions and all that we appeared, and, you know, they have, we are able to get that refund. So around 1.5 crore is because of that tax refund which we have got from the subsidiary. Other than that, there is an exchange gain of close to 1.25 crore, which I explained in my presentation. So 1.25 exchange, 1.50 tax refund, makes 2.75. And, you know, there are some grants and miscellaneous kind of income which we get. That, you know, that is the total operating income of 3.3 crore.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's fine. And all the best to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who has a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this moment. Mr. Vora, you may go ahead with your question, please.
Yes. Sir, we have our top 10 customers giving only 35% of our revenues. What do we see the opportunity in terms of client mining and in this improving environment scenario, any ideas of client budgets improving which we can get a share of?
As you said, you know, 35% of our business comes from the, you know, top 10 customers. So, you know, there is some scope for improvement in that, which we keep on doing and we keep on kind of, you know, what we have now decided is that we are spending more and more on R&D front and trying to kind of, you know, give more value proposition to our existing clients. This has been helping, but, you know, it's a, you know, it's a lengthy process. So we are hopeful that this should go, this should increase. We are kind of, you know, the new clients which we have bought in last 1 or 2 quarters, they are also kind of, you know, adding to, and, you know, will kind of get into, you know, this top 10 kind of a list. And we see there's a lot of scope for improvement in that as well as in the new clients.
Okay. And in terms of, sir, deal sizes, what kind of deals are we competing with such top clients?
See, if you notice, it, the largest client is close to $5 million. And, you know, first 3 clients are close to, you know, between 5 to kind of $3 million in that kind of a range. And, you know, what happens is typically our new engagements starts with, you know, very, you know, few numbers. But, you know, these are annual contracts and slowly kind of, you know, gets into, you know, into kind of a multi-million dollar kind of client. So in IT services, especially the MIDA business, what we do, you know, client will start with maybe could be 5 to 10 kind of, you know, project, but slowly kind of ramped into, you know, 25, 30, 40, 50 kind of thing. So it's an evolving process. It takes some time, you know, it's very hard to get to straight away, you know, kind of $1 million client or $2 million client. But slowly, you know, ramp up, we do project, growth plan, maintenance, and, you know, these are kind of energy kind of, you know, projects. So slowly kind of the client picks up. Just to give an example, our largest client, most of them are with us, they would be close to maybe 6, 7, 8 years. So, you know, it takes some time for them to get into that top 10 league.
If I can just add some more flavor to that question. Typically, in our product lifecycle business, we support right from early stage R&D work through sunset stage of production.
Excuse me, this is the operator. Sir, may we request you to be a bit louder, please? We are unable to hear you clearly.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Perfect, sir. Thank you so much. You may go ahead.
Yeah, I was just trying to add some more flavor to Nand's explanation. In our product lifecycle business, we typically support our customers right from early stage concept proving and R&D right up to the sunset stage of support and maintenance of the application. And we commence our engagement from any stage in this application development and product development lifecycle. And the scope for farming the account is really to expand our offerings either from testing services, development and support, rollout and implementation, migration of the customer's customers from previous version to the next generation and so on. So there is significant scope for expanding opportunities with an existing relationship once it comes onto the table.
Okay, so when we say that we are looking at S&M investments, that will be more of hunting opportunities or farming opportunities?
There are two kinds of investments. One is obviously hunting in terms of winning new clients, which is, continues to be a strong focus area. Another thing, of course, is in terms of account management skills. All our key principal account managers are focused around farming the relationship and growing the revenues with an existing client.
Okay. And bulk of our engagements with the clients will be time and material based or fixed contract based?
It is largely fixed teams, though there are different kinds of engagement. Clients are also maturing in terms of their expectations from the vendors. So we do a portion of fixed price as well. And I think we have mastered both the time and material as well as fixed price projects today.
Okay. So in terms of our products business, is there a volatility which is normally seen over a period of years, or we are able to make it a more of an annuity base, which is difficult in a products business?
There is certainly the normal volatility you would expect in a sales cycle of a product business. Having said that, for example, in our banking and finance product business, we have now expanded our offerings across retail, SME, commercial, and corporate. We're also taken on both financial services as telecom in our product business. And in our ECNS supply chain solutions, we are cutting across manufacturing and supply chain. So we're trying to smoothen out volatility to the extent possible. Having said that, there is the inherent unpredictability of a sales cycle, which leads to some volatility.
And so when we pitch our products business, is it as a part of a bouquet of services or it's separate? Separate from our IT services? So
it is part of a separate product business.
Okay, so both are pitched differently by different teams and how to different clients that way.
That's correct.
Okay.
Because there are fundamentally different solution offerings from the two.
Okay. Thank you. That's for it.
Thank you. It's a reminder to all the participants, anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would like to hand over the call back to the management for their closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
I want to thank everybody for attending this call and for all the good questions and good suggestions. And with that, we come to the close of this conference call. And I thank everybody. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.